Welcome to the South Florida M&A Advisors Podcast, your trusted M&A team. Here's your host, Russell Cohen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the South Florida M&A Advisors Podcast. I'm your co-host, Jeremy Wolf, joined by your host, Russell Cohen. Russell, good to see you again.
All right. Good morning. Hey, Jeremy. How are you doing?
Good morning. Doing well, man. It's Friday, and ready for a nice, relaxing weekend. The wife has taken the son to Disney this weekend, and it's just me and my daughter. So we're gonna do some chilling. We're gonna have some fun together.
Have a relaxing weekend. That's good.
Yeah, for sure. So we've been going on this journey through the M&A process. We've talked about a lot of different topics, and I know today you wanted to focus a little bit more in depth on how to be private equity ready. And I would imagine from where I sit that the financial performance of a business is probably an instrumental factor in getting yourself ready for private equity funding. So with that in mind, how crucial is a company's financial performance when preparing for a private equity-backed M&A transaction?
Extremely crucial. You know, you're dealing with professional buyers. They do this for a living. They're buying companies. That's all they do every day of the year. They're looking at companies all day. And so they're studying the numbers. And this is your first journey, you know, especially, you know, when you hire an M&A advisor like myself. I'm doing it on a day-to-day basis. But the business owner, this is their first dance in this arena. And overwhelming, very overwhelming. There's not a business owner that is private equity ready. And I say that because the private equity group uses GAAP accounting, generally accepted accounting principles. And all these businesses are not GAAP. They're not using GAAP principles. They might be close, but their books are not GAAP prepared. Now, in a M&A transaction, they may not expect you, the private equity group may not expect you to be GAAP, you know, using those type of principles, but they're looking at it through the lens of how they're going to run the business. So as we look at their financials and we think it's great, and then we start unpeeling the onion and we start to realize as we get a little deeper and we ask more questions, you know, we find holes in the books. And, you know, we have to solve that problem. If I'm getting there in early, I can bring in the professionals. You know, I can bring in a fractional CFO. I can bring in a higher level accounting firm to plug the holes and start preparing for sale. But if I'm, you know, if they haven't done it and I'm there ready to bring on the company on the market, then, you know, we got a lot of work to do to put it in the right light for the private equity group.
Yeah. Sounds like an intricate process. What key financial metrics and performance indicators do investors typically look for in potential targets when looking for places to invest private equity?
Right. So they're basically going to be looking, they're going to look at 3 years. But what I really commonplace is we're seeing, they're really looking at your trailing 12 months, the current year. You know, if you could be in business 50 years, and if you're on a declining trend, then they're going to look at that calendar year, that most recent calendar year in the trailing 12 months. And that's what they're buying. And they're trying to figure out, is it, you know, is that trailing 12 months sustainable? Was it quick hockey stick growth, or they're catching a slipping knife? So that trailing 12 months is very pivotal. And they're gonna probably study your financials right up to the closing. 30 days prior to closing, your financials need to be clean. They're going to be making sure that you have the foot on the gas pedal all the way through the closing. So, you know, the companies that come in and really audit your books, it's called a quality of earnings. The buyer steps aside, the investor steps aside. They're spending $75,000 to $100,000 for this quality of earnings. And they are working on behalf of the buyer. They're not working for you. And they're not trying to kill the deal. They're just trying to make the buyer aware of where the potential issues are in the books. They're trying to confirm the EBITDA, the earnings of the company. And a lot of times the business owner owns the property, and we got to make sure we have the right rent to the marketplace that could adjust the EBITDA. A lot of times the owners are staying on and they want that same salary, the high-end salary and benefits, which then could negatively affect the EBITDA. So, you know, as an M&A advisor, you know, we have to, you know, as much as they're worth, private equity group is not going to pay $400,000 or $500,000 a year for you to run the company. Just because it will negatively affect, it would negatively affect the cash flow. So, you know, setting expectations with the owner is just as important in the process. So, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so I'm trying to think through this in my mind. So the business comes to you, they want to sell their business or they want to raise equity, whatever the case may be. Obviously, you need to do an assessment. That's the first thing you would do, is an assessment of the business. Mm-hmm. How long does that typically take for you to conduct an assessment to determine? Because obviously, there's things that need to be done in many cases to the business. Like you mentioned, they're not gap ready accounting wise. You need to bring in professionals. Obviously, before you go out and try to raise private equity, you're going to want to get that business as ready as they could possibly be. How long have you seen that process typically take? Is that something that can take 6 months, 12 months to do for a business? Or is it something that can be very quick?
Sometimes the owners aren't ready. So a lot of times, if they really want to get the true value of the business, we recommend a business appraisal by a certified appraiser that will give you the value of the business in this point in time. On the flip side, we can give an opinion of value. I'm not a certified appraiser. But I can tell you in a roundabout way through an analysis, you know, landing spot. But when we go to market, a lot of times in these M&A transactions, we don't have a price. We go to market, we let the marketplace dictate the price. I'll give you a perfect example. I was dealing with a fire protection company, and we received two offers. One is $6 million. And then another one was $9 million. So we did not have a price on the business. And it was just one buyer to the other buyer had different values. Same EBITDA. We had a $2 million EBITDA. One was willing to pay $3 million and another one was willing to pay $4.25 million. So we don't come to market with a price. And if the owner wants to know kind of the expectations where to land, then that's great. Great for them to know, but we don't come to market with a price.
That's very interesting. That's a pretty substantial spread you're talking about. You said six, you got two offers, $6 million and $9 million. I mean, you're talking about a huge difference there. So you never come to market. So never do you have a price on the business. It's always kind of let the market dictate that. There's no
preferred. The preferred method is not to come to market. You know, the smaller deals, when we're dealing from 5 to 10, you can come to market with a price. But, you know, you don't have to. You really don't have to. You know, we're trying to do a structured process where we're creating a lot of stir and activity and leverage against each offer. And we're trying to get the highest possible price. So if we find a seller who is trying to maximize the price, then that's fine. We'll do a structured process, kind of like an auction process. If we have a seller who is more concerned about time and not about price, you know, they want to get a good multiple, but time is more important, then maybe a price is better, because then the buyer knows the target and the seller wants to exit quicker. And that's a good reason why to have a price on the business. So the business can move quicker.
Can you share any examples? I mean, I know you've done quite a few of these deals over the years, of how either a strong or perhaps a weak financial performance by a company you've worked with has ultimately influenced the outcome of the deal.
Oh, no doubt. If you're, if you have a hockey stick growth, then, you know, you're the seller's in the driver's seat because they're going to get a great multiple. You're going to have multiple buyers on the opportunity, and the private equity group will be eager to get through the process because it's growing and it's obviously a growing segment. But if you're in a declining trend, like a 3-year declining trend, and you're selling it based on the trailing 12 months, you know, a whole different set of questions will come out. And if the current year, if the sales are going down, you know, that is a concern. So that puts the leverage, the buyer gets the leverage on the deal. And you have many hurdles to get through because the question is, you know, why are the sales dropping? Why are the earnings going down? And can the private equity group do something to bring it back to where it was? So downward trends is a whole different animal. And it's not a
whole other ball game. You might not be dancing in the multiples of private equity.
No, your multiples are going down. as long as you have the right expectations and you want to be on the other side of ownership, you know, then there's still a chance you'll get your deal done. But, you know, if you're going to be part of the team, you're going to have to be willing to stay on and transfer the business in an orderly fashion. That's very, very pivotal in the sale of a larger company.
So on that note, what role does an exit strategy play in the M&A process, and how should companies, or how do you typically advise companies you work with on developing that exit strategy?
Well, you know, we have to set the right expectations. If the owner thinks they're getting out of the business within 30 days to 6 months, they are probably not going to deal with these type of acquirers, these type of investors. So as an M&A advisor, the first thing I say to them, you got to commit to a year to 2 years. Even a year is probably not enough, but, you know, certain circumstances, you can get away with it. But let's say an average of 2 years. You have to commit to the investor, private investor, the private equity group, that you're going to be an employee or slash consultant of the new company, which, you know, business owners are the entrepreneurs. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they're still running the company. They just don't have the risk associated with it to the same extent that they had prior. So as the M&A advisor, I got to say, sorry, you know, I know you want to get out of jail and you want to go off and go on vacation or play golf and start living your retirement life. But, you know, you got that 2-year window that you're going to have to, you know, run with the private equity group and be part of their team. And that also goes into deal structure. A lot of times they're not buying you out 100%. They're going to have you take 10 to 20% rollover equity. So you get something called the second bite of the apple. When they sell the business with the other companies they bought, you have the opportunity to be part of that second sale. And sometimes if everyone does the job correctly, then that second sale could be bigger than the first. So that's called the second bite of the apple, where you keep your 10 to 20% rollover equity in. And when they sell the whole package of all the companies that they bought, then there's a very good chance that you'll get a very nice return. And that's if everything goes as planned, obviously.
Sure.
So, yeah, a lot of good things.
Is that standard practice when you're talking about bringing in private equity for the owner to stay on for, like you mentioned, up to 2 years? Or I'd imagine there are scenarios where they're out quick because for whatever reason, the previous owner, they want them out? Or how does that typically work when dealing with these transactions? I also would imagine that there's a threshold, like price, you mentioned 5 to 10 million. When you're talking about larger scale transactions, they're probably going to want the previous owner on longer, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, so 2 years, a lot of times we're dealing with business owners who are in that retirement age. They're selling between 60 and 70. So the itch is, you know, to move on. And that's why they're trying to be on the other side of ownership. But they are keeping a piece of their sale in the private equity group in the new company. and they are expected to stay on for 2 years. There's part, you know, you have to be part of the team, right? You're now owned by corporate, let's say, and now you're still the CEO. You're still doing everything you're doing. You know, less accounting and you know, a lot less responsibility, but you're just, you know, you have a professional team behind you to help you grow the business. And, you know, that's why they're buying you. They want to grow. You know, if you are doing 10 million, they want to see you do 15 to 20 million. So, and they're going to give you the professional, you know, support, you know, the additional capital to jump in and try to grow it in the marketplace where you might have hit a wall and you've done, you could do what you could only do as an owner operator in the business. Now you have the ability to really take it to the next level if you desire.
Anything else you wanted to add before we wrap this one up?
You know, listen, you know, this is a very tricky process. It's a very detailed process. It doesn't happen quick. These deals can take 6 months plus. Once you have an LOI, you have many hands in the cookie jar in your deal, many different advisors from accounting, legal, you know, just on the buy side, they have a huge buy side advisory team. It's important that you have your right advisory team from your attorney to your accountant, your CPA, to your M&A advisor, to, you know, we help, you know, we bring in fractional CFOs to help in the quality of earnings. So it's a very tough process. It's an expensive process, unfortunately, when you start bringing in all these different advisors to get to the finish line. Well worth it, because this is your largest, chances are this is your largest asset on your personal balance sheet. So this is vital that we can turn it liquid for you so you can invest the money.
Yeah. And I mean, you said it earlier, right? You're run of the mill general small business owner, even medium sized business owner that doesn't have experience with this whole process. So it is incredibly important to have an expert such as yourself that has a team of professionals that can go in, kind of maximize the value of your business and make sure that you're taken care of moving forward. So
it's a whole different language.
Yeah.
From if you were selling a small business, compared to your, when you're doing an M&A transaction, the buyers are speaking a different language, and the business owner is kind of taken back because they're trying to understand, you know, what does all this mean? And sometimes sellers, you know, they slow down the process because they're trying to grasp the process. And that's why it can take longer to do a deal because they, you know, they are successful, but they've never sold their company before. And so that's why it's vital to have the right team of advisors to, you know, do it, you know, straightforward, honest, high integrity, and guide them through this, as I call it, a maze of a, you know, M&A transaction.
Yeah, indeed. All right, Russell, always a pleasure. Thanks for the insights.
Thank you.
Yep. Appreciate it. And thanks for everyone for tuning in, and we will catch you all next time. Everyone take care and have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to the South Florida M&A Advisors Podcast. For more information, visit southfloridama.com or contact 954-646-7651.